Hello and welcome to episode 559 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by most of Team Contending here to talk about the reactions or share our reactions to the 2026 Emmy nominations, which were announced this morning. Now, if you don't know what the Emmy nominations were, you can always go to our website at thecontending.com and take a look at them. But before we jump into our reactions, let's go around and introduce ourselves. Megan, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere at Hey Dude Meg.
Ben.
Hi, this is Ben Morris. Basically, you can just find me at The Contending.
David.
I'm David Phillips, and you can find me on every miserable social media outlet at Phillips Reframe.
Sally.
Hi, my name is Chalal, and you can find me on the streets of Rhode Island.
Joey.
Hard to follow.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Welcome. It's good to catch up with all of you. It's been a while since we've been together, probably since the Oscars. So there we go.
Yeah. Welcome.
All right. Emmy nominations. I know all of you predicted them this year. I opted out because I have seen exactly four TV shows this year, most of which were not nominated except for The Pitt.
You saw DTF St. Louis. You love
that
one.
I saw a little bit more than that. I saw DTF St. Louis.
Hacks.
I saw Love Story, Hacks, and a couple other things. But
Widow's Bay.
Okay, I saw more than that, but I just wasn't. I don't know.
Calling your ass out right now.
Okay, fine. This year, I just, I'll be honest, I just wasn't feeling it this year. It just,
it's okay.
It's
okay. That's fair.
I don't know. I didn't know. It's so hard to see where these things are going anymore because there's no precursors. You don't know what they're watching. You can tell that they watched three shows this year, and those three shows are The Pitt, Widow's Bay, and Hacks. Pretty much that's it. I mean, everything that, at least I thought coming into it was going to, that were going to be big players ultimately ended up not being big players or were, had some shocking omissions.
What
so,
did you think would be a big player then? I thought that everybody we thought would be in was in, but I'm anxious, interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, I thought the AI storyline of the comeback would take it into comedy series. It didn't get series. It didn't get Dan Potensky. I know nobody else but Joey was predicting that. And I had kind of down low predicted it. Love Story, I thought it would be better than it did.
I thought it would too, yeah.
So there was just a couple of things. And I you know, David, you must have been jumping up and down. I 100% did not see Your Friends and Neighbors getting in for drama series and leaving out John Hamm. What?
Or anything else.
How do you nominate that series and then forget him? He is the heart and soul of that show.
He's the meme.
Well, do you guys remember years ago when Birdman was nominated for, and it won everything, but the person who's in every scene, Michael Keaton, didn't win? You could say the same about A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe. This sort of reminded me of that, where, you know, he is the show. I mean, not that there's not good supporting characters in it, but he is what it revolves around. And whether, you know, any of us think that it's a great show or not, if they thought it was great enough to nominate it for best series, how do you not nominate the guy who holds the whole thing up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of that this year. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
There's a lot of that this year. I mean, I think Your Friends and Neighbors is the most shocking example of that, getting into series and nothing else. But how does Task get in everywhere except for series? How does Nobody Wants This get into series and cut out everywhere else except for maybe one category? Someone correct me, but I'm sure there's a million other examples of that too. It's just there's a weird, as the voting body grows with the Television Academy, and they've let in thousands of new members over the past couple of years, especially in branches that only vote in series, like agents and producers and stuff like that. We're seeing a lot of weird stuff happen more and more, which is hard to predict.
Yeah, we'll get to drama series later, but Another thing that I was surprised about is The Testaments, heavily advertised in Los Angeles. Chase Infinity got nominated for actress ahead of other bigger names, right? And no series
Nothing else.
nomination. And that's
Well,
not, sometimes it's difficult to get a new show in there, but it is basically Handmaid's Tale Part Two. So.
the test, I mean, that one I kind of understood a little bit. I mean, she has the added bonus of, being snubbed for one battle after another. And then the show itself was, kind of in that mixed vein. So I could see her being just, we see her name and we check her off. So
Yeah.
that kind of made sense to me.
Sure. It makes sense that she gets in. It just in the series category, I just was like scratching my head a little bit, particularly
I mean,
since they had
people
been
watched
campaigning
it
so
more
heavily.
than I think Your Friends and Neighbors. Well, I shouldn't say that line for line, but I just felt like there was internet buzz around T The Testaments compared to like Your Friends and Neighbors, which not a knock against that show at all. It just kind of the buzz correlation was off, I think, this
Yeah.
year.
I wonder if there's something with like I think like a lot of people assumed Task was going to get in. I think a lot of people maybe assumed that if nobody wants this gets in for comedy series and repeats, they assumed that the actors would also kind of follow like they did the first time. So maybe there was a lot of, and this isn't necessarily a blanket thing, but maybe people took some risk somewhere, was like, oh, it's gonna get in. Maybe I don't have to do it there and I can go for something like Your Friends and Neighbors versus Task or something like that. I certainly, going back to the Testaments, I thought maybe like I do agree that it's like Handmaid's Tale Part Two, the new class, if you will. But
Featuring Mr. Belding and
featuring
Scream.
Mr. Belding, God, under his eye.
Yes.
But the I thought maybe the Testament might sneak in maybe like a directing nomination, maybe in editing, maybe like a production design because it is familiar but slightly different, obviously. So I was a little surprised that when I was going through the Emmy website and seeing like, what else things got, it was like, oh, just Chase Infinity. Okay.
Yeah. So let's start with, I don't want to go category by category, but I'd like to just start generally within each genre, and kind of get your overall takes on sort of the nominations in here. And you can jump into any one of the categories within that run. But let's start with the limited series area. So that includes limited or anthology series. That includes TV movie, if anybody wants to talk about that. Whoever predicted Jack Ryan Ghost War. You're
Megan.
It was me.
good job, Megan. You want to be different and
It's
you paid off.
Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan's Ghost War.
John Krasinski's.
Ghost.
This
It is
one, it
just
should
Tom
have been.
Clancy's Jack Ryan Ghost War, but I like to have multiple names attached to it. So
There we go.
Tyler Perry's Tom
Oh
Clancy's Jack Ryan.
my God.
Based on the novel Push by Seth
Yes.
Rand. So, limited series, what stuck out to people?
Nothing seemed to be popular except for one show.
Wait, you think just one show is popular?
Yeah,
Well,
I
is it
think
Beef?
no one watched Beef.
BTF.
No one gives a fuck about that. DTF St. Louis, Clarence can touch on just how well it did. But besides DTF St. Louis, every other show underperformed in one way or another,
How did Beef
in at
underperform?
least one major way. Sorry, what, Ben?
How did Beef underperform?
It did get
Yeah.
Kaylee
Yeah. But it
Spaeny.
did
Everybody
get
assumed all four would be
the one
nominated.
that I predicted that Joey and I argued about the other night.
Yoon Ju was
Yan
another.
Yan Yan Jung.
Yeah.
Yan Yan Jung. Is how you say her name?
No, it's
Yoon.
Yoon Yoon-jun.
Yun Jung. Yeah, she got in.
Oh, it didn't get two supporting actresses. It
Yeah.
just got the
Right.
one. Okay, that's what you're talking about. I gotcha. But also Love Story underperformed with
Oh, that
massively.
broke my heart.
Just
Yeah.
at least I am happy that Constance Zimmer got in.
Me too.
But Grace Gummer didn't get in.
No, Naomi Watts didn't get in.
Naomi
It didn't
Watts didn't get
get
in.
no writing, no directing. I thought
No. Paul
I don't
Anthony,
Ellie.
That was never
Yeah.
gonna happen.
I thought that too. Yeah, we talked about that the other night too.
When I was making up the spreadsheet for like the predictions and I was going through like every show that I thought was going, if, Love Story had, and maybe Jalal, I think you kind of know this, or correct me if I'm wrong, but like Love Story had, they should have, in my opinion, should have focused on one episode, maybe two episodes, and put them on the ballot. But like writing and directing, they both had at least three. And most of the other shows, like a DTF or no, Beef had a couple, but DTF only, like Death by Lightning, like they only had like one submission. And I don't know, I guess it hurt. Maybe that hurt it. I don't know. I don't know if anybody can speak to that.
And beyond them submitting a million episodes, we've seen these categories especially become, they are fond of like auteur cinema. So they like a through line name. And
That's
Love
true.
Story had not only a million episodes on the ballot, but different names attached. There was not, besides Love Story being a Ryan Murphy show, although I don't know if he was submitted as a director. They didn't have like a name attached to it. There wasn't like some, a lot of the time Paris Barclay directs these things with Ryan Murphy, and I don't think he was on the
Yeah.
ballot. There was just like not names that stuck out, and I think there was lots of this show kind of went in lots of different directions. Like a lot of people were predicting the episode, the famous fight in the park, but I
Battery
know
Park.
me, I think you too, Clarence, found that episode to be kind of weak. So I
Yeah.
don't think there was a
Oh.
consensus on what episode they want to go with, or they
Well,
wanted to go with, focus on, or storyline.
to be clear, I thought she was great in that episode. I thought that they did not script the argument very well, and he did not bring the game that she did in that episode.
That was a weaker episode for him. Yeah.
I don't know if it's
But I
weaker.
thought
I
it
think
was a
for him
strong.
overall, but
But I thought it was a pivotal episode, though. I'm glad that they submitted it because I do think that was like
yeah.
the turning point of the show.
Well, but I think a lot, maybe not to speak for people, but I assumed, and we're going to talk about this more later, but I just kind of thought that Love Story was the show. I was like, okay, it's going to win. Like that's sort of the prediction that everyone, or the majority, or some people are going to think going into the nominations. I was like, nope, it's not. It's
Well,
yeah, and something like a DTF, which I think is taking a lot of people by surprise. I'm so happy that Joy Sunday got
she
nominated.
got in.
She got in. Yeah, she got in. Richard.
Oh,
It got what, four acting nominations?
I got
Five.
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 Linda Cardellini,
Oh yes. So
Richard
basically
Jenkins got
everyone.
in too. Richard Jenkins got in. Okay, good.
And Bateman and Harbour.
Wow, that's great.
I was gonna say the mini series this whole year has been kind of okay, this might be it, and then we're waiting to see if something bigger happens. I mean, Love Story almost seemed to be default. Then Beef came out, wasn't quite as big, but we thought maybe it would. And then DFL St. Louis came out, and then all of a sudden built. So its momentum kind of built at the right time, and maybe
Well,
it's now the front runner, or maybe it's still Beef, but who knows? Yeah. Am I
I would
the
say
one who
that Beef didn't do quite as well as we thought is an understatement. When I sent Clarence like a diagram today of like Netflix numbers, and do you have it in front of you? What did it say, Clarence? That like Beef's second season lost like 20 million viewers or something?
Yeah,
I did
something like
read
that.
that too. I Yeah.
read this interesting article on AV Club. I think it was AV Club about how they have second season problems. Netflix has second season problems.
I
I
heard
think
that
that
that's right
too.
off the number. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And they said that like Beef did not perform as well. There's another show that they talked about too, or like A Girl's Guide to Murder, A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. They said that like did really well in the first one, but not so well in the second. But they don't like know how to support their second seasons. But
Nobody Wants
it's
This went down a lot too.
yeah, it's kind of crazy though if you just look at, I haven't finished it yet, that's why I haven't I think I said this out last year, but it was like, I mean, Beef got nominated for 13 Emmys the first season. It actually grew in nominations, it grew by three, but it does feel like it. Like with Kaylee not getting in, it did hit sort of everywhere else, but it does kind of feel like it's still not the show to beat. I don't know. I feel like the response to the season broadly just wasn't as beloved. It was very it was a lot less buzzy than season one. So
I don't feel like anybody's talking about it. Like,
no.
That's been the weird thing with miniseries this year, is like there hasn't been a this is the big miniseries this year. Nothing has hit that kind of zeitgeist. There's no Baby Reindeer. There's no first season of Beef. There's no Adolescence. It's kind of been a list of these are good but not great miniseries. I mean, I haven't even started the second season of Beef, and I loved the first season, but I said, oh, okay, the reviews are iffy. So I kind of took a whatever. And the only one I have finished is DTF St. Louis. And I'm kind of baffled why that seems to be emerged as the big one, I have to admit. But I guess it was very easy to watch. I mean, it's the only one I've finished of anything I've tried. So maybe that's something right there.
It's a genre that I think lots of television viewers are very obsessed with now, though. I think that's kind of why.
I like a good mystery, but by the end, I felt really unsatisfied by what
it
was. Yeah, I was like, I don't feel like your point A to point B to point maybe EF here really. Some things just didn't mesh well for me, and by the end, I found it pretty unsatisfying with what it was trying to do. And maybe it also didn't help that I didn't really buy the bromance as much between them at times. So
I have thoughts on that, but David, you've been trying to say something.
Yeah, I just think that the category as a whole was a little bit underwhelming. In terms of depth, I was like a lot of you. I thought Love Story and maybe DTF would be, the top two, but in my personal opinion, Half Man is better than all of these things, but it's not there. And I think in part because it's really hell to watch, for a lot of people. And that's a factor. It's even harder to watch in Baby Reindeer, which is really saying something, because Baby Reindeer at least had a little bit of a little more comedy in it, however uncomfortable and unsettling it was. But I just wasn't knocked out by anything on this list. And I got an email from someone from, what's the studio behind All Her Fault? Peacock. I got an email from somebody from Peacock thanking me for, betting on it getting nominated. I remember thinking,
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that was cool. But I'm not trying to be fancy. But I remember thinking, how do I respond to this? I hated the show. I just thought it might get
I thought that your pick was really good, though. We mentioned that in the podcast, because I mean, that was one that was showing up a lot. And like, I don't think that, like, I think we maybe not underestimated it, but it's one that everybody watched also and had fun with, I think, in some way.
Yeah,
it's one of the biggest hits on Peacock of all time. Yeah. I remember when it came out, and like, I didn't predict it like you, David, but I'm the opposite of you. I loved it. I was like enthralled with it in one weekend. And it was, I remember when it came out, it was on like the top of the Peacock's charts. I remember it for like 39 days or something crazy. It was...
It strikes my wealth porn pain point, where I'm just like, I'm so tired of the troubles of the rich. And I don't know. And I don't even think it was the best miniseries on Peacock. I thought Devil in Disguise was far superior. And we might want to talk about that in the best actor category at some point, because they got the wrong serial killer.
They did.
Joey and I talked about this the other night. I was going to be like, everything that we've... You mean you don't like his voice?
My thinking about it was, I think he went all out, and Ed Gein supposedly did have a very funny voice, and it was a brave thing to even attempt. And also, you got to remember, somebody said, yeah, you go ahead and do that voice no matter how ridiculous it sounds. Somebody encouraged that. And they were behind the camera, and they left him out there to just, dangle, right? But the thing that bothered me is that after I watched Ed Gein, and I hated almost every single second of it, and then I wasn't even going to watch Devil in Disguise, but my wife has a serial killer, Jones. I don't know what to make of that. So we were like, okay,
let's safe?
Watch. Well, so far, 7 years in, right?
Okay.
The itch is coming, maybe, though.
She's playing the long game.
Yeah, I don't know what for. I have nothing to give her, but then we talked about watching Devil in Disguise because she had read a lot about Gacy and podcasts and all sorts of things, and I was like, oh, fuck, fine, whatever. And then I got into it and I started to think it's almost like a Sidney Lumet film spread out over, like, was it 6 or 7 episodes? And I was really knocked out by it. And this is just a case of where something didn't get the promotion over something else, I think, for
You're
that.
gonna get me to watch that show. I
I know,
can't
me
believe you.
too.
Like you literally, you said like a Sidney Lumet film. I was like, okay, like I'll watch it now. But I gotta say, I really tried to give that show a shot. I really did.
Which
I
one? You're talking about
Monster. Monster,
Monster.
yes, I'm sorry, I should have specified. Oh my gracious,
Yeah.
that show makes some choices. And I was by the end of it. I was so like that show did decent. It got 7 nominations, 2 acting nominations. I think there's a
Wait, who was the
different
other acting nomination?
Leslie,
Laurie
no,
Metcalf,
Laurie Metcalf played
who's
Mother Bates.
barely
He
in it.
got in. I
I
forgot
forgot
that I
to
didn't
tell
even
should have
start
been
the show,
nominated
but he
for
got
Big
in.
Mistakes. That's her best. That's her, well, whatever. But the that I almost there's a lot of craft in there that I really like. The costume designer is. There's a lot of, I talked to him. There's a lot of really great texture in there that I didn't see originally. And I went back and watched some stuff. But like some, ooh, I did not like that, especially by the end. I was like, ooh,
Oh, those last 3 episodes are some of the worst television I've ever seen in my
And the
life.
thing is,
Guys, you're making me want to watch it.
if you're
No,
watching
you
a show
don't.
supposedly about Ed Gein, and you're like, I wish they would just make a show about the making of Psycho,
Well,
and
that
not that
was the
that
most
was
fascinating part was the
exactly,
Tom Hollander playing Hitchcock was fantastic. He was one of the best representations of Hitchcock I've seen.
I agree.
You're gonna waste Olivia Williams as Alma Hitchcock. You're gonna she's literally in it. She's like, I have knives, and then she walks away.
But who's the one in the middle that gives the best performance? Why am I blanking?
Who?
Oh, is it
Banking Threat.
the girlfriend, the quasi-girlfriend?
Leslie
Yeah.
Manville.
Leslie Manville should have gotten
She
that
is going
nomination.
crazy in that show, and it was great.
Yeah, she's a little nuts. I think that Michael Chernus, I'm not saying this because I interviewed him and liked him so much, which I did, but he suffers from lack of name recognition in that and then in the actor category, I think. Anyway, it
Well,
was a
I
genius
wanted to.
performance.
I just don't think they pushed it. They didn't see it get
Yeah, that's
in
right.
mid in
They
the
didn't.
winter season. All Her Fault did get in a couple of places. So they pushed their money in that direction.
I want to touch on something David said, because I think the Emmys are kind of coming into a problem, especially in the limited series category, because a lot of shows aren't gaining buzz in ways that they should. And I don't know if marketing has changed or if I think in some ways film critics have taken over television criticism and they're doing a terrible job at it. If there are some good shows out there that deserve the buzz that never got the recognition, like you guys just talked about Michael Chernus, one in Netflix that like the people who saw it really loved it, but then it never got the audience was Death by Lightning. And it snuck
Yeah.
into a couple categories here, but that probably should have been a huge contender
Yeah,
based
I
off of
agree.
the response. In England, everybody loved Lord of the Flies, but we didn't care about that here.
They only got 2 nominations for sound. That's it. That's horrible
That's
to me.
insane. That's insane.
But so I just think there's a way that we talk about the past couple of years, the way there's almost like too much television. We don't know how to talk about it. Not we specifically, but just in general, that I think it's letting a lot of things, especially in limited series, for some reason, fall under or get swept under the rug. And
I
I
feel
don't
like
know
they
how
should
to
let
fix that.
more limited series in that category too, because what they only have 5, whereas everything else kind of they let more.
If it
Well,
has, if
they
it had
needed to get
six, it would
in
be
this year,
better.
though. I mean, we didn't really have that many other, I mean, great contenders, it seemed like, for miniseries. I don't know if that would have helped. I mean, heck, so far the best I've seen this year were British ones that can't actually be in because they're international. So I'm like, well, that's kind of out. So unless Tiptoe being on Stars sometime later this year somehow gets that qualification. But
I already need it. Like, give it to me.
oh, it's worth it.
It's completely worth it.
I want to go back to where I think DTF St. Louis grew. And it picks up on something, Megan, that you were talking about a couple of weeks ago, or you put a post in this where it's the there are big pieces of entertainment that are trending in the men just need hugs category. And DTF St. Louis is men just need hugs expanded across 7 or 8 episodes. And that is, but you know. Conversely, you'd also think Half Man would have fallen into that category. But the problem with Half Man is the people who watched it all came back and said, it's unbearable. It's horrible to watch. It is some of the hardest to watch. And that's why I haven't watched it, is because you and Joey and Frank have all told me, or maybe it was Joey, I don't remember. Multiple people have told me it's a tough, tough sit. And I'm just like, I'm not in the, I wasn't in the space for that.
Yeah,
So
I
there's
wrote about
like,
it
there must be a,
after.
oh, go ahead.
I was just saying I wrote about it after it finished because it really did knock me on my ass. And it's the only thing in the miniseries category other than Devil in Disguise that really I responded to like that. But it is, I mean, there were times when I was like, I don't, my wife was like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. So I understand, you know, like it's just not easy. It, but boy, is it brave.
I cannot. I cannot believe that Jamie Bell did not get nominated.
Yeah,
It got
I was just gonna.
one nomination. That's
What
crazy.
was the
For
nomination for?
Richard Gadd.
That was
Yeah.
it?
Yeah.
So,
That's
do you think there's a spectrum of like what people can tolerate in the like male? I think I called it non-toxic masculinity. Like,
Yeah.
because I know it deals with toxic masculinity, but do you think it's like, okay, we can deal with, okay, Ted Lasso is like the happy number one on the spectrum. And we've got like the bear is probably five. It's kind of. And then it's like, okay, at 10 where they can't bear it, it's got to be Half Man. And like the
Yeah,
people
Half
just
Man's
can't.
10,000 because Jamie Bell's horrible too. I mean, he's toxic as hell too. It is like this codependent toxicity, and you'd have as a viewer almost nowhere to go in terms of rooting. But by the way, I always look at these things is I don't need to like them, I don't need to root for them, I need to find them interesting. And
Yes,
that
right. Sure. I
in that
agree.
case, I did. Well, and I
That
wonder
makes
if
total
Richard
sense.
Gadd got in more just because he's Richard Gadd and
Yeah, that's
we
what
knew
I
his
was
name.
thinking about
Well,
too.
he is brilliant in it and he
Right.
transforms himself physically, but you're right, he has a cachet.
And
He also had the easier category of the two.
would you say Jalal?
He had the easier category of the two. Because I think Jimmy Bell was also hurt by the fact that for a long time pundits were like, Jimmy Bell's going to win supporting actor. And then they did the switcheroo, put him in lead, where there were less slots for him to go for and more competition in lead. And then it just kind of, Richard Gadd also, I feel like, did more of the, and maybe someone correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think more of the campaigning.
Well, it's
I
also challenging though to pick a lead in the series because the two younger versions of the main characters are they have almost equal screen time all the way around. So Gad being in support or Belle being in lead, it's really just like juggling. I don't know that there's a
And
real
David,
winner.
I read somewhere, and correct me if it's wrong, but because I haven't watched Half Men yet, because I'm kind of nervous about how dark it gets. I read that you begin the series thinking someone is a lead and someone is supporting, and they do a switcheroo. But maybe also now I'm thinking in my head, if
It's
Jamie
not a hard
Bell is kind
switch.
of support. Or, sorry.
I'm sorry. I was to answer your question. It's not a hard switcheroo, but it just sort of keeps moving in a way that you can never say that one's the lead. And Jamie Bell becomes like sort of in the late middle, feels a little more prevalent, and then it kind of switches back. And it's I think it's a true ensemble in that sense of particularly in the four characters.
But if someone's watching maybe just the first 1 or 2 episodes and then it's too hard and they give up, are they going to maybe say Jamie Bell's not really a lead if they've
Well,
only
the first two
it?
episodes are mostly about them as youths. It's
You
not
don't see,
really.
yeah, you
Yeah.
don't see them until I think the halfway point. It's only 6 minutes
You
or
do
so.
see them, but it's
Oh,
like
it's like 2 seconds.
it's very truncated. Yeah, exactly.
Well, DTF St. Louis clearly took a playbook, it took a page from the playbook of the White Lotus and called everybody supporting. But I call bullshit on that because Jason Bateman and David Harbour are the co-leads of the thing. I mean, they're not supporting that. To compare them against Richard Jenkins in that is ridiculous because Richard Jenkins is definitely supporting them. They are the two leads. The whole thing is about them.
They didn't
Well,
want
then
to
Jason
get the
Bateman also got
police
in for
out.
Black Rabbit, which was
Yeah.
funny. I do want to say what something that Jalal said. You talked about that, like they like to honor or like recognize auteurs, and you're absolutely right because I think Richard Gadd, that was kind of like, oh, we like you. You did Ra Baby Reindeer, and then also not that we haven't talked about this, but like Noah Wiley, I think got a Best Director nomination for the Noon episode of The Pitt, and I feel like that's also like, oh, this because he's like the
A
figure behind
show,
that show, and they do like, I mean, because there are other episodes. I was surprised that it only got in for one episode of directing, but I do think they like to focus on like who is representative of this, and I think they probably were like, well, this is Richard Gadd.
they also did. I don't know if we want to segue this into drama if we're talking about the pay, but this also there was a this was a rule change here. Where it used to be like you could vote for as many things as you wanted in a category. And this year, I think, or was it last year? It's that they're limited to voting for the number of things, number of slots in a category. So, like, maybe that answers the question as to why some weird things happened. If they wanted to spread the wealth, and they didn't want to vote for the Pitt 5 times in directing, so that.
I am surprised though it didn't get in for like at least two direct because I think, I mean, it's a well-written show too, but I think everybody talks about the directing, like so.
I want to pause here because I do want to get to drama series in a second, but I want to go around the table and very quickly, no debate, just shout out a name. I want to see who you think the front runner for each of these categories is in the limited series race right now, starting with supporting actor. Joey, who do you think the front runner is?
David Harbour.
David.
Oh wait, I must look at those.
I guess David goes with David too. Yeah.
Ben,
No surprise, David Harbour.
Sally, we come back
Sally.
to you? Megan,
David Harbour
I'm
or
trying
Charles
to.
Melton?
But go ahead, Jalal.
Oh,
no,
What do you?
I'm just like I just can't decide between David Harbour or Charles Melton, but I would vote for David Harbour.
I think I'm going to go for somebody different, and I'm going to say Nick Offerman.
I would
Dor
love
David
that.
Harbour has some bad vibes around him.
He does, yeah. He
Yeah.
does. He does. But the work
No.
is amazing.
Not
And
that I am
yeah.
not saying that he shouldn't be. I don't want, like, I can,
No, I get it.
but
I get it.
I just wonder if
There's
Lily
bad mojo
Allen
out there for
fans,
him.
and I don't know how
Absolutely.
many Lily Allen fans are.
I would say he's navigating that very well on the campaign trail.
Also, yeah, there's also Millie Bobby Brown shit going on too. I forgot about
Yeah, but
that.
they're doing a
So.
series together, if I heard right. But I think
I
it
think
helps
so
that
too.
Lily Allen isn't Lady Gaga. I mean, it's sort
That's
of like
true.
it's over there, you
Yeah,
know?
you might be right. But yeah, I don't know. I think Nick Offerman is also having a really good year, and he also has
Yes.
he has two nominations, so I don't know.
All right. Supporting actress.
Austin
Throw a
Sinner.
dart.
I'll go
Go
with
ahead.
Linda Cardellini right now, but I have to admit I haven't seen Beef yet, so that's the biggest one. But
You're fine with
again,
saying
if
that.
yeah, but just with how big it DTF seems, and she seems to be the one that people are representing there, so.
Yeah, I think she's the one too. I think Dark Horse, I'd pick Constance Zimmer. Oh, I'm so happy she got nominated.
Jalal.
I think it's going to be Linda Cardellini, but I vote for Constance Zimmer.
Yeah, I think Linda Cardellini. David?
Same. I think if there's any kind of surprise, if Beef could win something, it might be here with Yu Young. But I'm going to butcher her name, even though I interviewed her years ago. But yes, her. She's terrific.
Lead actor. Matthew Reese? I have no idea. Oscar Isaac.
I think Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
I think Matthew. I think it would be kind of weird if Matthew Reese won for that show, even though he's been nominated all fall. But I feel like people would be more excited to vote for him in Widow's Bay.
Yeah, I think so
Yeah.
too.
Shout it out. What do you think?
I almost think it's going to be
So glad he's
Matthew
not in
Reese. I
time.
think he's just having such a great year. They might be willing to give it to him twice.
weirder stuff have happened.
I'm gonna
So,
go with Charlie Hunnam. I'm gonna be weird.
thank you, Megan.
I'm gonna go with Oscar Isaac because I think he's one of the most not underrated, but underwinning. I mean, he's never nominated for an Oscar. There's probably like
Right.
seven films you could consider him for. He moved over to TV. He made something out of Moon Knight, which was not an easy lift. And here he is back in TV again. And he was wonderful in Scenes from a Marriage. He did get nominated, but just there seems to be a little bit of maybe he's due, and he's also great. I mean, he's legit.
Yeah. Just remember, we're just shouting the names out because we need to keep this going.
Whoops.
That's all right. Jalal, who did you say?
I'm going to agree with Ben and predict Matthew Rhys.
Oh, I love that.
Which, just a
Yeah.
little tidbit, if he does win both of them, that means he would win. He is on his way to winning a lead actor in all three genres, which would be
That
fun.
would be okay. Now I want him to win.
Yeah. I'm going to say Oscar Isaac, but Matthew Rhys is calling to me for some reason. Actress.
Sarah Pigeon.
Sarah
Sarah
Pigeon.
Pigeon.
Please let it be Sarah Pigeon.
Okay. Does anybody not think it's Sarah Pigeon? All right. We're going to skip TV movie because crap bag.
Ghost War.
limited series. DTF St. Louis.
DTF St. Louis.
Yeah, I think so
Yeah,
too.
me too.
All right.
I'm gonna go Love Story and be the side option there.
What if it's all her fault? I haven't
It's
watched it all yet, so I need to jump back into it.
moving on to comedy. What do we want to say about the guest categories? If you weren't in Hacks, you weren't getting in. Into the actress category, at least.
Oh, I also
There's
love the Widow's Bay representation
100%. I
there.
did
We,
not think that
yeah.
was going to happen, but oh my God, I was
I
so
thought those were
excited.
kind of long shots, but like the two ones. I almost felt like I know that Kay Callan was campaigning for supporting, but I feel like she could have been guest and like almost like maybe she didn't have enough screen time. But
Almost
I'm so happy
correct.
that Betty Gilpin is in there, and I kind of my initial thing is I think she could win.
I'm so happy for Leslie Bibb getting in. I
I
loved
know. Me too.
her in
She's
that,
great.
and oh, she was so fun to interview too. Just
Yeah.
utterly delightful.
You could tell in that piece, actually, that she
Yeah.
was just her personality radiated in every word that you wrote.
Yeah,
I.
I think she was better than that than she was in White Lotus. And if I would have interviewed her, Ben, I just would have stuttered for 20 minutes. So, oh.
She's striking. I interviewed her for Pomeroy Allen. It was ugh.
Is this her
She's
first Emmy nomination, or did she get it
yeah.
for Palm Royale?
No.
This is her first one. That
First.
is so
Yeah. I've been a
crazy.
fan since Popular. I'm
I
just
know
saying.
you have.
I gotta say, just shout out real quick, Lauren Weedman finally has an Emmy nomination. She's been in
Is this her first
everything.
nomination?
This is her first nomination, which is fucking crazy.
For
I
some reason, I thought
wanna,
she got it. No.
yeah, you would think she would. She's done so much TV. She's such a. I'm sorry. In the Hacks finale, when she breaks that champagne bottle and cuts her hand open, she's like, "Oh God, I'm bleeding."
Which
That's
one
not
is
her.
Lauren Weedman?
He's
She's
the mayor
mayor.
of Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. I
You
haven't.
would know her if you saw her.
Yes.
You hadn't. I don't think you've gotten that far in the show yet, Megan.
No.
Yeah.
She's in like Looking and Abbott Elementary, Megan.
I'll send you a picture.
Well, I'm looking her up now. Oh, she looks familiar.
Jalal, I want to toss a question over to you. Do you think Connor Story can beat Michael J. Fox in guest actor?
No, because it's going to be Rob Reiner.
It's going to be
Yes.
Rob Reiner.
Yes. Also, this is unrelated, but do you think that the heated rivalry, they're all, I've seen a lot of people doing giveaways for like, you could go to the screening for the second season. I'm like, they're not even filming that.
They're filming it now.
Are they filming it now?
Yeah.
I didn't think they were.
I don't think
They're
it's officially
filming it
started
now.
yet, is
I don't
it?
think it started yet.
I thought it was in like they said it was filming in
No.
July. Okay. All right. It's okay.
We just
Burn
get to. I'm gonna
him.
stop talking about it because I'm gonna kill myself if I have to hear about that stupid show one more time.
I know. I loved it, but I'm annoyed.
Megan.
What? Heated rivalry?
Okay.
Respect yourself.
Why start now?
We're just best guest actor. I would love if just Hamish Linklater could win for Widow's Bay. That was such a... I actually had to look up, like, good. I had forgotten who he was. And when I saw him, like, oh, yes, that would be such a fantastic win.
But I think Rob Reiner's going to win, though. I do think Rob Reiner's going
to
win.
Yeah. I have to say, I think Jalal said this a couple of years ago when talking about The Bear. Like, originally, when I saw that episode of Widow's Bay, I was like, this is the most dramatic episode. And I was like, I would love to see them get in for, you know, guests. But I was like, I'm worried someone's going to be like, it's a wholly dramatic thing. And I remember Jalal said something about, like, it doesn't necessarily matter if you don't think of this anymore. Maybe if it doesn't matter what category they are in after they are nominated, you should vote for them because you think they're, like, the best performance. Like, that's what you can't help where the category placement is.
Well,
so
he is funnier in his second episode. Mm-hmm. That is a lot of physical comedy.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
She's funny too. Joey and I were talking about when she says something like, oh, he's the devil. And they just look at her. She's like,
yeah, she like runs in and she's like, oh God. She's like, hello.
She can't not be funny.
Right.
Like, Betty Gilpin is.
So good.
Overall, moving up to the major categories for comedy series, right, or comedy genre, what are your reactions to these nominations? Widow's Bay surprised with 19. I mean, I knew we felt that there was a movement toward it. It was being talked about a lot. I don't know that, you know, I saw Dale Dickey getting in. Probably the most surprising and happiest nomination I saw all day.
Dead baby.
Our word. That makes so much sense, though, because, I mean, I was texting a lot of you during that. I'm bad at myself for not predicting Dale Dickey because it's the most Emmy thing in the world. Like, a character actors with a huge, maybe the funniest scene of that show.
Absolutely.
And finally getting her recognition. And it should have been obvious to everyone. And
Widow's Bay is
such a celebration of character actors too. Like, yeah. Steven Root finally, like, what, this is his only like second nomination or something?
Second.
Like, crazy. He's iconic characters.
I wanted to win casting like so badly. Yeah. But they also, like, if you think about, you know, this conversation we've been having about Matthew Rhys or Cato Flynn, I was like, okay, who's the most comedic? It was like, Dale Dickey's on screen. She's always funny. And I was like, I can't believe that I didn't predict her because she's a scene stealer every single time she shows up.
Pax led the day with 24 nominations. Sorry, Pitt was 25.
Megan Stalter finally getting in. I just got that was so thrilling.
I love that category. I mean, I know Hannah Einbinder's going to win again, but Michelle Pfeiffer, Margot's Got Money Troubles, is brilliant in that. She didn't get nominated for the Madison. She is amazing in this show. It is the best she's been in 20 years.
She is really good.
You don't think Cato Flynn has a chance?
Yeah. I think Cato Flynn is the second behind Hannah.
I do too.
She was the big discovery. But I do
wonder if the Hacks and the Widow's Bay cancel each other out and Michelle wins.
Or Janelle James, finally.
Right, yeah.
No, I mean, in both of those cases, I would argue that there's a very clear narrative that the nomination is the win for that actor, for Megan Stalter and for Dale Dickey. I mean, you know, as great as Dale Dickey is, people aren't going to, I don't think people would vote for her over Kate or...
I don't know.
You don't know? Maybe it's, you know, the legendary character. I mean, they threw us a curveball last year with... Somebody Somewhere guy. Jeff Hiller. Yeah.
I would say the one thing is Cato Flynn is a discovery for people too. So for them, I think when I reviewed it, I was like, this here is someone incredibly we need to be paying attention to her. She needs to be getting, you know, this nomination.
Well, and she's got the best episode of the show.
Yeah.
She's a discovery in two ways, because, like, as you were saying, Ben, people are discovering her. But I think that episode you just referenced, Clarence, was, I think, a lot of people's gateway into the show. Because when that episode premiered, that is, I think, when, like, the media started saying, you have to watch the show, you have to do it. So I think she gets that buzz, I think.
I would say there, I think we're really talking about who's in the number two spot. I really think it's Einbinder. And if she weren't there, I think the argument would be the discovery versus the person who came back and reminded you how good she's been for a very, very long time, and also has seldom won things, because I think she's so beautiful and still is. But, you know, it's she never had a monster role like Charlize Theron, right? So, you know, I think, you know, there could be appreciation, but I don't know if that matters as much as it used to.
She never accepted a monster role like Charlize Theron. Michelle Pfeiffer's turned down more great work than any actress I know that's working today. She
turned down
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs, yeah.
I was kind of just going to go off that as well. Hannah Einbinder, not only, I mean, it's, you know, the end of the show, but she was utterly phenomenal. And as much as I do loved Kate O'Flynn, I'm rooting for Hannah Einbinder to win again. I don't care that she won before, just all the emotional weight she threw into the season. And then her just random one-liners, just coming in at the most random moments. I mean, inside the bedroom, not knowing if she's going to attack or save her, depending on which way the mood's going. In the straitjacket. Just.
What was the? I sometimes watch hacks, supercuts of just like funny moments. Like, it's just mixed up from all five. There's a scene, and when they get the Bob Lipka shows up, she's like, "How?" It's like, "Siri, how do I sink a super yacht?" No, it's just.
My favorite is the three or four of this season, where I've never related to a character more, where she's like so impressed to be dating a sex worker and then gets the biggest dick in the world when he's a magician. I'm like, that's
so funny. Wrong.
But I think I'm probably going to predict Hannah Einbinder, but like, comedy is interesting because recently in the Emmys, we've seen waves happen. And when a show wins one, they win everything. And Hacks, Jean Smart, it could win Paul W. Downs, and it could win Hannah Einbinder. But we could also, there could be momentum growing for a wave for Widow's Bay. Matthew Reese will win. Betty Gilpin will win.
So too.
I think Stephen Root has a really strong chance of winning. Mm-hmm. So if those are all winning, I think Kate O'Flynn wins too.
Speaking of, I mean, I would love to see Stephen Root win, but in supporting actor. But do we think that maybe someday before he dies, somebody will give Harrison Ford a competitive, like a non-gold watch, ceremonial something? Or I mean, he's wonderful in it. And I will say this as somebody who hasn't loved Harrison Ford in anything since Witness and Working Girl. And Shrinking is like the first time I've ever seen him be vulnerable in a way that I didn't know he could get himself out of the fix that he was in. Right. There's no safety net in his performance with that character. And that's very unusual for him. I'm very surprised to be the person saying this, because I'd given up on him a long time ago, because everybody knows for a longest time, Harrison Ford's main focus when he accepted a role was the paycheck. And that didn't mean the work was always bad, but it often meant he didn't take, like, he turned down Michael Douglas's role in Traffic, as an example.
Is this about the movie he did for Disney with the dog?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
CGI dog.
Did you have to watch that one, or was that the one with Willem Dafoe?
There's more than one?
Yes.
That was me, Clarence. I watched it just so I could interview Willem Dafoe.
Wait, which one is Togo?
That's the one.
That's Willem Dafoe.
That's Willem Dafoe.
I would watch it again.
That's Willem Dafoe.
So
I never Harrison thought Ford I would hear Togo ever again.
Harrison Ford, that was Call of the Wild. Right?
Call of the Wild.
Call of the Wild, yeah.
Oh,
Togo was much better. If you want to make the comparison, Togo was much better.
Other thoughts on comedy?
I think the support we're on the supporting actor races. I think supporting actors and supporting actor in a comedy are like, I don't think there's a sticker of the bunch. I'm sorry. I think these two categories are very strong. Thank God they put Tyler James Williams back in because he missed last season from Abbott Elementary. And I'm so furious that Shirley Ralph missed again. I don't know. Ugh. I don't know who I would take out, but.
Yeah. But they are all.
They're all great. Yeah.
Great performances.
We talk about, is this a good chance to talk about how Jamie Lee Curtis is becoming one of the most nominated actors of the Bear? Because I don't, maybe she got a bump from our favorite movie, Ella McKay. I think it's
Scarpetta.
Oh yeah, where she romances Bobby Cannavale.
Yeah, actually,
she fought with Nicole Kidman over who was going to be first on the call sheet.
I paused there for a second. I thought of you, Jalal, today because I saw that James Earl Brooks was trapped in an elevator, and I'm like, Ella McKay never would have.
I want to know if when he was trapped in that elevator, if Wes Anderson cornered him about Ella McKay.
That's what people are saying online too.
I want to see Wes Anderson's Ella McKay.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, we would just have fantastic production design. That would be.
I'd want to leave halfway through, like every other Wes Anderson.
Even
movie.
More white people in a movie than Bill McKay.
Wait. All right. Okay, I need to go on a 30-second. Have you guys seen the trailer for that new movie starring the brother from Ella McKay, where the entire movie is him being that brother character, essentially running around a college campus terrorizing women? That
no.
Is the new MO.
I did not see it.
I need to find the title for this. They keep playing the trailer for the movies.
Okay. I thought you were going to say he's in a whale, that whale fall movie.
No, isn't that Austin Abrams? Isn't that Mr.
Yeah, I think it's Austin Abrams, yeah.
I do want to ask David a question. David, do you think the Bear bounces back next year for its improved fifth and final season?
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility. And it's also like the going out the door thing. And I think a lot of what people loved about it in the first two seasons, the sort of rapid fire nature of it and then the, you know, an ending that sort of brings things together. I think it could. I mean, you know, I'll just keep fucking saying it's in the wrong damn category, but
it is.
But I mean, especially these last 2 years. I mean, it's just ridiculous, honestly. But anyway, it's the hill I die on, and forever and ever, amen. So,
I did finish it, and I grew to really like it. I think there are some uneven things about it. Like, I don't know why we needed the character of Cheddar in there at all. Like, she did nothing. It's Elsie Fisher.
Cheddar?
Yeah, no, her nickname is Cheddar. It's Elsie Fisher
from eighth grade.
Yeah.
And, I like how I say that, like, we were in eighth grade together.
I'm not sure what she's doing in there. And then I really hated Carmi, his last scene where he's applying for that internship. I really hated that scene.
I can understand. I guess I can understand that. There's a reason to like or dislike anything, but I mean, hate seems strong. You know, it's 4.5 minutes of him being the guy. I don't know.
But it didn't make any sense. But anyway, we'll argue about that later.
Yeah.
Other thoughts on comedy before we jump into predictions, although I think we've already kind of nailed down some of these categories. All right. So where is everybody landing on supporting actor?
For comedy?
Yes.
I'm going with Paul W. Downs. It's my weakest. I'll feel the least sure, but I feel like there's going to be a Hacks wave, and I don't know who his biggest competition is, so to speak.
Steven Root.
I'm going with Steven Root.
I think Harrison Ford gets pushed to next year. I think it's probably Downs.
His condition is worsening on that show.
Yeah, and they're doing a time jump too. He's gonna die.
Oh my god, what if he's already dead? Oh no.
Like Harrison's very old. Harrison's very old.
I don't mean the actor. I mean the character.
You should clarify.
I really doubt they're going to kill him off. He's too popular of a character, and he's having way too much fun.
I guess I'll go with. I don't know if there's anybody who's going to be like Paul W. Downs has Emmys for writing. I won't vote for him, but. I guess I'll go with Paul W. Downs. I think some people will appreciate seeing his ass and seeing all his hard work working out.
I'm going to go
with...
Wouldn't
even nominate him for his best season, though.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. I mean, that's never the case. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he's not been consistently nominated, and I don't know that they're going to love... They love Hacks, clearly, but I don't know that he... You know, it's a sweeping show, so well, I'm going to go with Stephen Root.
He's going to win writing, so...
Yeah.
Not to sidetrack. The one thing I think why I think he still might do it is he's playing the agent everyone wants. He's playing the guy who's got that emotional connection, and I think that might be the little thing that pushes him over.
Like the goodness of the industry. There's one good guy, and it's Jimmy. That's it.
The damn good intensity.
Right. Supporting actress in a comedy. Hannah Einbinder. Does anybody think it's not?
I'm going to go with Cato Flynn.
No, there we go.
Somebody has to.
There we go.
I'm going to go with Hannah Einbinder, but I support Megan.
Thank you. Thank you, Sally.
Lead actor, Matthew Rhys.
Yeah.
Matthew Rhys.
Yeah.
No one else should have even been nominated.
So we don't think it's Steve Carell with Rooster. Rooster really underperformed.
If he watched HBO comedy in 6 years. I was so sure that that's the reason it was gonna get some other places. I thought it was gonna get comedy series, it was gonna get actor, and he was gonna win. I don't think that anymore. It's Matthew Rhys.
Yeah,
Matthew Rhys. Actress Jean Smart.
Yeah.
There was a day where we were talking about it's a two woman race, and then all of a sudden everything else fell out beneath the comeback, and poor Lisa Kudrow's gonna. Yeah.
I saw someone say that, like, oh yeah, happened.
Fleabag?
And I was like, that, like, you're not even trying with the shit you put on Twitter now anymore, guys. Like, Jesus Christ, not even trying.
She's only lost one award ever, and it's because, unfortunately, Catherine O'Hara died.
Right.
And right. It's kind of foolish at this point to bet against her.
Yeah. Comedy series, Hacks.
Hacks.
Yeah.
All right. Drama. What are our thoughts on these drama nominations? First of all, I want to say, we've already talked about Your Friends and Neighbors, but I do want to say thank you to the Television Academy for at least being the only voting body to recognize that this was the best season of The Gilded Age so far.
And to get that was so exciting.
You know, I could we have had a prediction market on how fast Clarence would speak of The Gilded Age if we came to drama? Because I think I would have won.
I'm actually surprised that hasn't happened sooner. I mean that affectionately.
I just want to say... It got a directing nomination. I think it's the first time the show has gotten a directing nomination. Richly deserved. And Carrie Coon.
Yes.
So
that was exciting.
It got more nominations this year than it did the last two. Sorry, go ahead.
There we go. No, it got... Did it? I thought it season two was more. Because season two had more performances.
Oh, no.
Season two had like Christine Baranski.
Yeah.
Let me look. Maybe I counted wrong.
Anyway,
please hold.
Other thoughts on drama? Surprises that Sydney Sweeney and Jacob Elordi didn't get in for Euphoria?
Fuck you.
You know what? I would almost. I think I'm 50 fucking five. I don't know I sat through all three seasons of Euphoria. I don't know I've ever hated a television show more in my life. What is the fucking point? It is just awful. It's awful to sit with. None of those characters are all that fucking interesting. I mean, it's just dreadful, and it's also seems like this stew of misery, and I don't, and just make the people interesting. This is all I ask. And there's it's oh Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'll stop.
I couldn't even get through the first episode, mainly because I found the direction and the cinematography so
Wait,
ugly
of
to
the third
stare at.
season or the first season?
First season, first
No, I'm.
episode, I could not
Yeah.
finish the first episode. I'm like, I don't care what's going on. You've literally made me already not care.
And this is why what you just said is irrelevant. It's because the first season and the third season are completely different shows.
Yes, I heard. Yes, I heard
True.
all about the different things they did in the third season. It became everyone's
Um,
favorite hate watch.
I, uh, Joey, you were right. This is the most Emmy nominated season so far.
I wanted to say, I was going to say that, but I wanted to ask, can I go back to David for a second? If you had to take Euphoria or Monster season three behind the shed and shoot one and let one live, can I have your answer of what would be what?
Easy, easy. It's Euphoria. I think also because of past misdeeds, and I forced myself to watch it, and I tried to understand. I really gave it a go. I did. And then, I remember watching The Idol, and this is the Sam Levinson show too. And you know what? I'm like, people thought this thing over here was great. People thought this thing over here was terrible. They were right the second time. And they should have been right in that direction the first time. It's really just miserable, toxic shit. I just,
You know, if you look
oh
at
man.
even the reviews of the first two seasons of Euphoria, though, they're not great. They're not good, actually. It became this cultural thing, but
Yeah.
everyone only agreed about Zendaya, and the rest of it was
He
pretty mid
No,
or
wait. Did you
bad.
say
Got that
everyone agreed
really
about Zendaya?
fantastic episode in season two that I think is one of the is the best episode of the series. It's where she's on the run. I
I
think
just want to
that
say,
I watched that so many times. I love that episode.
when Ben says everyone agreed about Zendaya, not me.
You don't like her.
I think she's better in other things. I think Elordi, I think Sydney Sweeney, I think everybody in that cast has proven themselves to be better in other things, whether that bar is high or not. I know you're thinking Sydney Sweeney, Joey, it's fine. But I'm
What are you
saying,
talking about, David? And what? Are you talking about her and the Greatest Showman?
no, I'm talking about her in the boxing movie. She's legitimately good in that.
Are you
Oh,
talking about
Sydney Sweeney. I thought you
Crazy?
were talking about
Yeah.
Zendaya.
Oh, Zendaya. No, I don't think she's. I don't. I think. Well, it's to me, it's such a low bar to clear. They're all better in other things. The best thing you can
Wow.
say about Euphoria is it created some stars who will hopefully go on to do something better than this piece of shit.
I think we're rewriting history a little bit. I think season two of Euphoria is top television. I think that episode
It
that
was a
Megan's
lot of
referenced,
fun.
the episode where she's on the run, I think is one of the
Perfection.
single best acting performances in a single episode of the show.
Yeah. She's
Zendaya
so
is a
good in
star.
that.
She's phenomenal. We have Martha Kelly being the
Yes.
funniest and scariest person on television ever.
Yes.
This is
Yes.
a show that gave us Comen Domingo, like gave
Yeah.
people Comen Domingo. I think its use of music was very good in those first two
Yes.
seasons.
Yeah, you can pick out points, and yes, giving us Coleman Domingo is a nice thing, but I already knew who he was on the Walking Dead second spin-off
Well,
series.
nobody
So,
watches
yeah,
that.
that's a fair point, but it wasn't like he didn't exist before that, and he had important
Know
roles.
him because he's gay.
He's friends with Jessie Ware. Did you know that?
Oh, it makes me
Yeah.
love him
I
even
like
more.
that. All right.
I know.
Rip it then. Derailment.
Sorry.
Guys ever see Derail with Jennifer Aniston and Glenn? Never mind.
I know what you're talking about. We'll talk about that.
You are right, Joey. I do want to say I was pleasantly surprised to see, I mean, everybody had predicted it, but Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, a very slight show, but a great show still. And I was just disappointed that they didn't nominate Dexter Soul Ansel in it, who I thought actually legitimately gave a great performance as the young Targaryen. Spoiler alert.
Was he submitted in supporting or lead?
He was supporting.
Okay.
But Peter Claffey was also very good. But anyway, it is what it is. Other thoughts on drama series. Pitt got if you walked by the camera at any given moment, you got an Emmy nomination.
I love that the guest actors, Brittany Allen and Tal Anderson, got in. I thought that was great.
Who was Tina Ivlev?
She was the sexual assault victim.
Yeah, she's really good. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I guess we're going to talk about this with predictions, so never mind.
For guest, were you done, Dre?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. What I liked about a lot of those guest nominations for The Pit was that sometimes, I can't say exactly who it was here, but I know that this is an instance also where like some of these guest people submitted themselves and weren't necessarily by the studio. So I really liked that they got
Brittany Allen was an example of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think
love when that happens.
Was Jeff Kober too?
I can't remember who was and wasn't pushed by the studio this time.
That's a cool nomination because that's a guy who's spent a career of playing gnarly bad guys, and he stayed gnarly, but he got to play a good guy, you know. And I thought that was a really nice arc, and it's one of those things where you think that's never you could watch Jeff Kober's career if you've like suffered through the Lou Diamond Phillips movie he made years ago about Satan or whatever. If you suffered through that, you would look at that and you would go, "That guy's never getting nominated for anything." And it's just not because he couldn't act, but because on the base, the first power, that's what it was called, is a piece of shit. But anyway, you would think about a guy like that who gets stuck in these sort of tough guy bad guy roles, and often in projects that as he has proven here weren't to his level. He had more in the bag, and it's kind of cool when you see something like that happen.
Now, do we think that Catherine Lanasa can overcome?
That's what I was gonna say.
They probably should have campaigned her for lead actress, because I do think.
She's the front runner though, Megan. Are you singling her out because you think she's the best of the four?
I mean, I think they're all amazing. God. But I mean, like, because she won, she is kind of like the lead, you know? So should she have been in the lead campaign and lead category? Would she have more of do you think that her going against three other pit women will like cost her votes and that maybe it'll be somebody else?
So if it's not a woman from The Pit, the option would be Allison Janney, Julianne Nicholson, and Carolina Wydra.
And I think it would be the Pluribus girl.
I think Carolina is the...
I need to watch that.
For one, I think it's the best performance on TV, period, of the last year. Mm-hmm. It is very difficult to do what she's doing on that show, which is to behave as this... complex conscious mind. I mean, this consciousness of everybody who exists all at once, and then never emote too much, but never be too distant or too alien. It's really complicated work. And she has a great story too. She disappeared from acting for 5 years to raise a child, and during COVID in part two. So, I mean, I think it's just astonishing work. And Seahorn actually thought too. I think Seahorn is almost campaigning harder for her than she is for herself.
No, and they actually.
She's got it sewed up.
I really hope she does.
So? I think.
Wait, what?
Clarence thinks that Rhea Seahorn has it sewn up, but I don't think so. Joey and I talked about this.
I don't think it's completely sewn up. I think she is the front runner, but I don't think it's as locked up. Yeah.
Carrie Russell, didn't she win the SAG?
Yeah.
She did.
I don't know if I
think that, the Diplomat better. Performed pretty decently, because I think Rufus Sewell had not been nominated before, right?
No.
And Allison Janney missed for season two.
Yeah.
And it got a writing nomination.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think it only got two nominations last year. Hold on, 2025. Yeah, it got drama series and Carrie Russell. And then this year got Janney writing, casting Russell, drama series, Bradley Whitford guest, Rufus Sewell lead actor. So it grew in nominations. Yeah.
Russell's the only competition for Seahorn in this category to my eyes.
It would be nice to see Carrie Russell bring a third Emmy in the night to that household, but It's Rhea Seehorn still is.
Yeah, and she's utterly phenomenal. Actually, more I'm looking at, Pluribus did so well. It would be really, and there's no pit person here. So yeah, and she is the show. I mean, the other supporting, well, I would, throwing out right now, make it really easy. Pluribus should sweep as far as I'm concerned in the drama category, but she is the biggest representation of the show. Unless it, I bet it wins possibly directing and writing too, but. Or at least it one didn't, of those.
It did incredibly well, obviously, yeah. But it didn't do as well as someone like Clayton was predicting. Like, I think he was saying it would get into the 20s.
22, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have to do that.
I know. I'm just saying. Unless someone has any objections, let's just go through the predictions very quickly. Again, just shout up a name. Guest actor in a drama.
Do you mean supporting or guest?
Guest actor in a drama.
Okay.
I'm going to say...
Sorry, Jeff Kober?
That's who I'm going with. Yeah, but it's tough.
I'm going to go with Ernest Harden Jr.
That'd be a nice win, too.
I'll go with Jeff Kober.
Ben. I think I'll go with Ernest Harden. He has the big emotionalness to the show. There you go.
I'm so sad. I agree.
Okay. Guest actress.
She's going to bring home number 4.
This is a wish prediction, but I really hope Shailene Woodley wins this. I did not care for Paradise, but I loved her performance. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if everyone else had died and she just took over for the show, that would have been fine by me.
Never bet against Merritt Weaver.
Merritt Weaver, baby. 2 for 2. She's fucking great
last year or no?
What?
Did she win this category last year?
No, she went. This is season 3. It's the first time she showed up.
She won for Severance last year.
For Severance last year in this category, right?
Yeah.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
So she's 3 for 3. That's fucking crazy. Oh, God, I love her.
Megan, I just remember Miriam Shore for that independent film that we saw.
Yeah, and she, God, I would love to see her win too, especially the way she appears in flashbacks. She's really the heart of Pluribus. Like, she's great. I love her.
She was also in Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and I'll never ever
wait. I love on.
That's my favorite.
Hold
yeah, she's on. she played a man actually in Hedwig.
Hold on. Wait.
I just saw that at the Academy Museum like a month ago. It was so fun.
She's musical Yitzhak? I had what?
Hey, look, I was this year old when I found out that Lanasa was married to Dennis Hopper. I don't know how that got by me for all these years.
She has a child with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Yeah, so now new information just flooding right in.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to be a Megan this time, and I'm going to say Brittany Allen because that emotional performance is, I mean, I could barely watch it because it was so, it reminded me of Deborah Winger saying goodbye to the kids in Terms of Endearment.
And she self-submitted too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That'd be great if she won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would pick her on merit, and I'm, you know, I think it might be the best nomination out of the pit, and I like the show a lot, by the way, but yeah. I think that might be the best nomination category.
Don't say Merritt unless you're talking about Weaver.
Oh, I love her. I love her too, so you know, I'm with you as far as
supporting actress. I'm going with Catherine Lanasa again.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with her too.
I love that Fiona Dorff got in.
Me
I
didn't too. Yeah.
Sorry, Ben.
And Stefan Amofi. I'm so glad she got in there too.
Me too.
Ben, you said your head is with her, but where's your heart with?
My heart's Caroline Wyder, but I'm going to go with Catherine. I don't see how she loses, even with all the other pit people. She's the obvious person that they just went to.
Especially since for her scene that everybody's talking about, her dealing with the sexual assault scene, and
that last actress moment. Got in too.
where
Yeah,
she
that
breaks
last
down.
moment of silence where she just was by herself was the best moment of the entire season, to my mind. I am going to go with Wydra, though. I think there's a lot of pit people here. Can she beat out her own friends?
I
I
think
don't
that's a
know.
good
Maybe.
pick. I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, why not? Joel.
Are we I haven't watched this show, so Clarence or Ben have to answer this, but like, is there a chance that Julian Nicholson pulls through, or does she have the material in season two?
I don't think so.
Just because I
I mean,
know that you love her, and I love her.
I think she's a co-lead of the show. I think she's got the material. I don't. I think where maybe she doesn't win is she's not doing anything that's that dramatically different than what she's done before. It's a workaday performance. She's always very good.
She's solid. I guess, yeah, again, I don't think we saw anything new. I think that's, yeah, you're right.
So
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
sure that nobody would have placed this bet, but we're gonna get a second Togo reference because I interviewed Julianne Nicholson for Togo and she called me on her own phone. No block, no PR, just the phone starts ringing.
That number
Babe,
is I have
uh,
it in my phone. Never
look,
called it. I've never texted. I've never done a single weird thing.
I'm gonna
But
one-up you, David. Patti LuPone called me from her own phone during COVID.
well, Harvey
She's
Keitel
stuck on a
called
boat
me
with
from
some
Betty
fans.
Gilpin called me from her own phone, and when she was at a coffee shop, and she said the
Kyle Mc
blenders were really
Oh, you
loud.
guys are just making me sound like I'm a
Kyle
piece of
McLaughlin. No
shit.
one likes me.
Whatever.
Kyle McLaughlin, Ellen Bernstein, and Ariana DeBose all called me from their personal phones, and I
I'm
kept their
sorry.
names
Didn't
in
someone
my
also call
will from
was
their
the
personal
first
bathtub.
one?
Oh,
Kyle
yeah, well, no, I'm not
McLaughlin.
talking about
Do you have
that.
Kyle McLaughlin's phone number?
I don't have it in my contacts because I did delete. I thought my phone gets stolen. Somebody's gonna call on Ellen Burstyn.
Do you think
So I
any
deleted.
rube that steals cell phones knows who Ellen
So
Burstyn is?
a big homo's gonna steal your phone?
Yeah.
Oh, they're all stuck on a boat, Megan.
Because I'm gonna steal your phone if you have Kyle McLaughlin's number in it.
I have a picture of his phone number from the conference room. I took it at work and I took a picture. I'm like, oh my God, this is Colin
And that
McLaughlin
number
calling.
is
This was
COVID was wild,
pre-COVID.
even.
This was actually pre-COVID.
Oh.
This was during Twin Peaks, The Return. So this would have been 2017.
You talked to Kyle MacLachlan about Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you remember that? Where were you?
I'm just so. Maybe I just like to be surprised, Megan. Jesus Christ.
Okay. The only thing I will say about a potential Julianne Nicholson win is that sometimes people catch up to the first season of a show, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, even though I'm only supposed to be voting for season two, I'm going to carry that
Yeah.
momentum forward. And maybe she, I don't know. It's not out of the realm of possibility. She's surprised us before.
That thought process, Clarence, is why I don't want to knock out Taylor Dearden.
Yeah.
Because her first season, I know you've told me that she doesn't have as much to do in season two. I've been holding on to season two until I have like time. But season one, her performance was my favorite. And I just wonder if other people, if there's anyone who wants to spread the wealth.
Yeah.
Bigger things have happened, but I don't know.
She has the subplot that, and I know this is online and discount online, but she has the subplot in season two that I think people made fun of the most, where she was walking around and getting deposed on the 4th of July, and they're like, who the hell would depose somebody on the 4th of July? And she was just constantly talking about it, and that was all she really had to do.
There was the stuff with
she
her
was
sister, though, too.
with the
But that's
sister,
like her
yes,
sister
with her.
overshadowed her almost.
She did.
That's a
She
fair
did.
point, actually, yeah.
But she did have nice moments. I mean, I'm not saying she's not giving a good performance. She had that, sorry, I watched the two seasons so close together, so I'm maybe misconstruing things, but she had the moment where she's in the dark room with the patient that has this on the spectrum and she's like calming him down. Was that season one or is that season two? Season
Season one.
one? Okay, never mind then. See, maybe they don't can't tell the two apart. Maybe they'll vote for, I don't know.
I'm
Lead
just getting
actor.
flashbacks when we did this for the White Lotus last year, and we were heatedly talking about Carrie Coon or Parker Posey.
Clarence, did we do supporting actor for a drama yet?
No, we didn't. I'm sorry, I skipped that. Supporting actor, David, who do you think?
If it's not Howl, I think it could be Tom Pelfrey. But the only thing that gives me pause is that Task didn't
Right.
get the best
I
series
was thinking that
nomination.
too.
And it's a similar. I mean, Howl has less pit competition in his category. So, and I think that character grew a fair amount from being like, the naive guy to the person who's actually kind of showing people how to do things. I think that has an appeal. But boy, I'd sure like to see Tom Pelfrey win.
Why don't people like Patrick Paul?
They don't like
Can
the
I?
character. They don't like the
Can I?
person
Yeah, a
he's
lot of people
playing.
don't
They
like the
don't like
character.
the person he's playing, which I
Yeah. Can
think
I?
is a really unfair reason to hold against him.
Can I offer a slight rebuttal to that? Is I think I don't know if people are going to connect with that story of him trying to redeem himself, and I don't know if there's like a redemption about being and going through the steps like an addict does. And he has a like most of his scenes. I don't know what episode he's submitting or anything, but most of his scenes, and a lot of tension comes with his scenes with Noah Wyle.
Yeah.
So I don't know if people will connect to that while they watch Noah Wyle stuff, but I feel like a lot of his conflict in season two is trying to get the acceptance from,
You know, the
yeah.
old Desperate Housewives rule.
Boy, I think
I didn't know
that's a
that people
good.
didn't like Patrick Ball, but all I remember is season one where everyone thought he was going to get in. A lot of people like this performance, and off of Joey's point, actors love an addiction plotline.
But I
My
think that Joey's.
surprise.
Oh, sorry. Quickly,
Well, sorry, it's
just this
surprising
is.
you said that because I heard everyone say that he was always the one everyone was predicting to win. And I watch that and I go, I don't know what he's doing that's particularly that interesting on the show personally.
Oh, shit.
So, but again, I'm not a Pitt person at all, anyways. I was never a fan, and second season didn't change much for me.
I
But
God, Ben, I forgot this about you.
I think what might impact him is that the arc is incomplete. He doesn't get to the redemption point. It actually, which I think is a good device. They just show him doing the hard work of trying to get people to accept him, And I think that drudgery, that difficulty, and I don't mean drudgery as in to watch it. I mean drudgery for the character of just like, why can't people believe that I'm being sincere this time? I think that probably will resonate with some people, but I think we also like to see. There wasn't quite the big scene for him exactly.
He had the redemption moment where he did that risky procedure and saved that person's life
Yeah, I
toward
mean
the
that
end of the
I mean he
season.
wasn't accepted. He still
Okay.
did not end the season with this acceptance moment from anybody. But you're right, that was a great shot.
But I think that's part of the beauty of the show is the realism that
Yep.
in reality that character probably wouldn't even work in there, but
Yeah. But I think that's kind of part of the problem though,
yeah. Lead actor.
Did we all do
Noah.
our predictions for drama?
Sorry. What's that?
I didn't know if we all did our predictions for drama supporting actor.
Oh. Who did I miss? Forgive me.
Well, I was going to say Carlos Manuel Vesca. I think the Pitt people are going to split for some reason, and I'm going to throw my heart for this one because what he does on Pluribus, being silent for so much of the film for the show, and even learning English as broken as he is to get there. I think it's a very different compared to what everyone else does on the show. So I'm gonna throw my heart there for him.
I haven't seen the show, so I'm going on your word on that one. The only thing that is in the back of my mind is Apple's not very good at winning awards because they had
The
two
first season's
seasons of
not good show.
Severance, and I mean
Right.
it was they only got Termelle Tillman,
No, they also got
Britt Lauer.
Britt Lauer.
Brit Lauer, yeah.
And they've gotten, they've
No, they
won
should
other
have
awards.
won. They should have won that year.
Severance?
Yeah.
Over the Pit? I don't
Yeah.
think so. Not the way
Well,
that.
I mean, if what he means is Severance was the front runner and they had no
Yeah.
excuse not to
Thank you.
win. They had
I think
all
the
the anger in
Pit,
the room.
I think Severance was the front runner and it kind of halfway, but then the Pit just stole all the momentum. So they've won acting awards before. So I think it's possible. Plus, we're already arguing about who's the best on the Pit, so I think that kind of shows something right there.
I will say it's not going to happen, but David is completely right. It should be Tom Pelfrey. He's given so many phenomenal, heartbreaking performances on television. And
He's a very talented actor.
He had
So,
one, I guess.
who else did I miss for supporting actor?
Which one?
Joey.
Patrick Ball.
I'm saying Sean Hattasey.
Yeah. Coming up in them. It's just because he took his shirt off.
Yeah, because they love that. And he won the guest actor. Everybody loves him. He's a zaddy.
Okay. Are we ready to move on to lead?
Yes.
All right. Lead actor.
Noah.
I think it's Noah.
Donald
I'm in a
Trump.
similar place with Tom, with as I was with Tom Pelfrey, that I would choose. And this is no. I think Noah is wonderful on the show. He had a great season, possibly a better season as an actor than he did even the first season, which is saying something. But Mark Ruffalo destroyed me in a way that with the hearing sequence at the end. There were so many ways for him to play that would have been a bit too much, and he just rode the line all the way through. And my wife walked into the room and she goes, "Did someone die?" I mean, literally he asked me if someone died, and I said, "Just my heart, you know?" So
No.
Noah Wiley.
Noah Wiley. Yeah, I think probably Noah Wiley too. So Al, you going with Mark Ruffalo?
You bitch.
Hmm?
No, it's Noah Wiley. I think
Okay.
there's no. I mean, there's other great performances. It's just Noah Wiley.
Joey?
I almost don't want to dignify that with a response. But yes, Noah Wiley.
All right. Lead actress. Anybody not think it's Rhea Seehorn? Megan, who do you think it is? Kerry Russell?
Russell.
Joey?
Carrie Russell. Carrie Russell.
And yeah, Jalal's right. They're gonna look so cute going home with three Emmys.
One for each of their children. How many children do they have?
They have like three children, don't they?
They have
Well, don't
three,
forget,
she
he
said.
already has one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does too,
Okay.
right?
Nope.
Does she?
No.
I don't think
Oh,
so.
yeah. Okay.
He said he felt bad winning one before her.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
Yeah.
terrible.
Chris,
I should have got
I
one
just thought of
Ruffalo at the end,
something.
but
Are you the only one on this call who has children?
me?
Yeah. Are you the only one on this
I
call?
do.
Ben. He's got
Oh, you
Ben
do,
has
Ben?
kids.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Didn't know. I just feel very at home with people who don't have children. Whatever.
Well, I mean, if it means anything, I'm about to be an empty nester, so
Closer.
outstanding drama.
The
The
pit.
Pit.
Yeah.
The pit, but it should be pluribus.
E pluribus unum. Joey?
The pit.
The Pit. All
The pit.
right. So, 5 minutes max here, but I want to go around what outside of these major categories, major races that we've talked about, what else do you love about the Emmys? And Jalal, I want to go to you because I know you've been holding back a discussion of your favorite category, which is the snowflake category.
I am just so excited to see what happens in Variety. What is it officially called now?
Variety
Which one?
pre-recorded?
Variety.
No.
No.
Variety series.
Right, just Variety series.
Live.
Because yeah, they combined them. So they've combined Variety series now into this is what it was like 10 years ago or whenever we covered it like this. But it's now talk
Scripted
show
variety
and
series.
sketch show in the one variety category. And the nominees are The Daily Show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Late Show, Stephen Colbert, and Saturday Night Live. And they changed the voting essentially. I didn't know this. I missed this until they talked about it at Vanity Fair. So essentially in round two of voting, wait, have you guys already talked about this on the podcast, Claire? So am I wasting time? Essentially, now when ballots go out to everybody in the Academy, everybody has to look at all five nominees individually and say, does this nominee deserve an Emmy? Yes or no? And each nominee that gets 90% of the vote wins an Emmy. So everyone theoretically could get an Emmy. And if no one gets 90% of the vote, the nominee with the most votes wins. So no one's going to say no to Stephen Colbert. No one, they all love John Oliver. They should all be saying no to SNL, but who knows? It's going to be interesting to see what happens here. It's a little, it's not a little ridiculous. It's insanely ridiculous the way this is happening. It reminds me of the year of the Tonys when
Oh,
only Aaron Tveit was nominated,
Aaron
and they had to
Tveit.
say, does Aaron Tveit deserve a Tony? Yes or no?
What if he would have lost? That would have been
I
so
would have voted
sad.
no for chaos, but I'm not a Tony voter. But so I'm curious to see what'll happen here. I think there's going to be at least two winners. I don't know what you guys think, but
Kimmel and Colbert.
no, maybe three. Yeah, Colbert and I think are for sure getting yeses.
I think Kimmel, because they've been, he's the next one that's targeted. He's the next one that's on the chopping block. But I don't know. As long
I
as it's
guess the
not
big
Saturday Night
question mark
Live.
is like the Daily Show, but
I want to ask the team. I know you all watched it, or I believe you all watched it. What was so special about the 83rd annual Golden Globes that got nominated for a variety special? Like, don't they just give out awards? It's no, there's
well, there was nothing to vote for, I think, right?
yeah, that would be my guess.
Maybe they just really like Nikki Glaser. Maybe they like how she stuck it to people. Because she got nominated, I think, for three Emmys today. Technically, she's on the Golden Globes thing because she's the host, and then her special got two.
So the Golden
Why do I
Globes
know this?
wrote this tail got what just wrote her coattails then. So I guess.
What was that, damn it?
I said the Golden Globes rode Nikki Glaser's coattails, a sentence I never thought I would say.
Right.
Can I just say I'm really happy that the Chair
That's
Company
funny.
got a couple nominations for writing and directing?
You can say whatever you want.
I figured this is the 5 minutes to do it. I wish Tim Robinson got in for actor, but I just wanted to say that.
I bet he was on the cusp of getting in,
I
man.
bet
I
he
bet
was
he
too.
was, too.
Yeah.
If it had gone more than five, he would have been number six.
Is that coming back this fall, Megan?
It should be. I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything yet.
Oh, is this now a good time, Clarence, to say I'm really happy that the Emmy voters proved that they have taste and they did not nominate the paper?
Nominate the
Yes, please.
what?
Uh-oh.
Oh, the paper, you're right, got shut out completely. Wow.
Deservedly.
I like the paper, but it's
Too
fine.
bad.
I
I
was
didn't
just
expect
adding.
it to. I wasn't surprised. So
a long time ago, Mario Van Peebles made a movie called New Jack City. I'm sure you probably have heard of that one, remember that one. His follow-up to that was a good idea. It was a black cowboy movie called Posse, and it wasn't very good at all. It was just a good idea. And there was an actress in that film who I remember just I could not take my eyes off her. Beyond being so beautiful, she was more than the show deserved or the movie deserved. And I remember thinking, why isn't she competing with Halle Berry for roles? Cut to 2026, and she's now a director, and Sally Richardson Whitfield's director nomination for Task is just made me very, very happy that the idea that you could maybe miss your moment as an actor for whatever reason, you don't land in the right roles, whatever. It's not about talent. It's often not about talent, in fact. But she found a way, she found a way on the back end of this business. And it's not always easy for somebody who's a minority, or often not, it's never easy for somebody who's a minority, and sometimes not easy for people who are that beautiful to move behind the camera, and she's really, really something.
She got
Oh.
nominated for Gilded Age, though.
I'm
Sally
literally looking
Richardson.
at outstanding. She got nominated for two. She got nominated for, I'm
She
sorry, she
got
got nominated for
two.
the Task
She's
and
the
the Gilded
first.
Age. Yeah.
She's like the first black woman to be nominated twice in one category, I think.
Yeah,
Wow, that's great.
Maybe in maybe just director, but it might be ever.
I buried my lead. Thank you, Joey.
Other parting thoughts.
I was amused with best animated program because there's six, which I guess that means there was a tie. And I mean, it's most of the regular expect, but then Star Wars Visions, which I had not even knew was still on, and Smiling Friends, which I knew had a following, and they ended kind of abruptly because the creators basically decided we're burnt out and we don't want this to go on too long. And it's not my kind of thing, but I am kind of impressed that it made enough of an impression to break in here, especially since it's only like 12-minute episodes, so they don't have like a full 30. And when I first saw Rick and Morty get nominated, I'm like, nobody really thought anything about the eighth season. What's going on? Go back. They're airing the ninth season now, which everyone seems to be loving, including me. They skipped entirely, since they barely got the cutoff point, they put the premiere of the ninth season as their submission. So even they knew the eighth season wasn't worth anything. So they might be able to get two nominations for the same season if they do something again like this next year. So I thought that was good on them. Good choices.
Can I ask the group a question? Because I just noticed this. Is it a statement about the relative weakness of the limited series category that there's only four directing nominees?
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Why were there only four?
Yeah,
I kind of figured that out. I guess there was just less submissions this year.
It felt like a mistake, because if you go to the, I was looking at the Emmy site because we didn't have the directing and writing nominations on our site. So I went to the Emmy site and it's got four blocks and then there's this blank spot at the end. And I'm like, I kept refreshing thinking it didn't load.
I mean, now it's just become easier. I think people are getting smarter in terms of how they compute for Emmys, and they know the less submissions, the less episodes they submit, the greater chance they have of getting a nomination. So I just feel like that maybe led, and already there's less limited series this year, led to not a lot of submissions, which they didn't meet the threshold, would be my guess.
So,
Megan, how excited were you for the fact that South Park got its first song nomination?
I was excited for that, even though I have not watched South Park in a little bit. But
what song is it?
It's called The Crap Out, from the episode Christian Women.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
The Pit song got nominated. You spoke to the composing team.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes, Joey.
Just real quick. For some reason, I really love that Margot's Got Money Troubles got in for contemporary costumes. I don't know if it's just like, appreciate what sex workers wear and whatever.
She's not a sex worker.
Well, the girl she does OnlyFans with is... Shut up, yes, she is.
She's technically a sex worker.
Yeah, they consider OnlyFans girls sex workers.
Okay.
But the fact that if people didn't know, like, anyone that is doubting that Hacks is going to win comedy series or probably win a couple acting stuff, the fact that the Spanish language song that is in about 7 seconds, because Deborah Vance is desperate to win an EGOT, she sings a song in Spanish to fit into a random Grammy category. It's like 6 seconds long and it got nominated for Outstanding Music and Lyrics. Like, dear God, that's insane.
That is insane.
Yes. Sorry,
continue. Nope. Happy for Ariana Maddox to get in for Love Island.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And I'm happy that the...
How she ended up on top.
I'm happy that the Arianators don't have to come after Megan now, because she got... because One Wonderful Night got nominated.
You know, I really wanted to be like, Megan, can you slide in a link to our newsletter? Like,
right, I'm gonna be like...
Wait, were they mad at you for not predicting it?
Yes. Yeah, they're like, Megan just wants to be different or something.
And I'm like, how well you know this person that you've never met?
Yeah.
I like how you reply. You're like, yes, I do.
I said, like, guilty!
That was so funny. That's it.
All right. Let's wrap things up. Thank you all for joining. And I know we're not going to do the flash forward, because I know the thing that you're all most looking forward to this week is the Rock's wig. The glorious curls. the supposedly awful Moana live action remake. Somebody just mentioned on Twitter that they digitally removed his nipples.
Sounds like when they
Yeah,
digitally change the
that's the
cat's butts
problem.
and cats. Yeah.
Is this proof that that head is not made for hair pieces?
It's the
I mean,
trailer.
after Smashing Machine, you know? I just,
Oh God, I fucking hate that movie.
So anyway, all right, that let's get the hell out of here. So we are team contending. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on your favorite podcast app, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.